Grief is a natural part of life, and we all experience it at some point. By becoming aware of our emotions in the process of grief, we can begin to accept and move through our pain. Acceptance doesn't mean that we forget or stop feeling the loss, but it allows us to come to terms with it. And finally, we can choose to honour our loved ones by celebrating their life and finding meaning in our grief. Join me as we explore these pillars of grief and how they can help us navigate the journey of grief. We will explore this journey together, and you will hear from experiencers, experts, and researchers. I'm Jock Brokas, and this is The Pillars of Grief.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, ladies. Actually, it's afternoon, I'm recording this, but good evening. Wherever you are in the world, ladies and gentlemen, this is Jock here, and this is The Pillars of Grief. And I've been really excited about this episode because you get to meet not just a guest, but somebody who's actually going to host, you know, is going to co-host with me from time to time, because we've developed a good relationship over quite a while I met her husband. You'll hear about that story in a little while, but I'd like you to welcome my co-host and my guest today. This is Jill Deutsch. Now, wait a minute, I want to make sure I'm saying that. Am I saying that right, Jill?
No. It's actually Deutsch.
Deutsch. Yep. No, but that's, I just blame my Scottish accent on that one.
No, you're among everybody, like 99% of people pronounce it that way.
So this is a bit different, guys, because, you know, obviously I had a guest on before. If you haven't seen that episode, go and check that episode out with Dr. Charlton Gaines. But this is more for you guys out there who have lost a loved one, especially, you know, this is what we're going to talk about is COVID. I mean, the amount of people that we lost loved ones during the COVID pandemic, and we're still having that fallout. This is how Jill and I met, and we'll talk about our COVID widows group in a little bit as well. But Jill, tell the listeners just a little bit of your personal story about your loss during COVID.
Well, it was really unexpected, of course, like most people, I'm sure. But Chris was perfectly healthy. He rode motorcycles. He was a car racer in his spare time. And he started feeling bad, and he told his boss, but he didn't tell me for about a week. And then he ended up trying to take care of it on his own until finally it got to a point where I figured something was up. And he actually begged to go to the hospital, which was not like him at all. He was very much anti going, you know, to doctors.
Yeah.
A tough guy.
Yes. I've seen him, not obviously just in the spirit side of life, but I've seen pictures of him, obviously. Yeah. And he's a big dude.
He's a big guy. Yeah. 6 foot and, well, not quite 6 foot, but yeah, big guy, broad shoulders, you know, tough. But it took him down in about 12 days. And it was just having to deal with that immediate trauma was incredibly hard.
Yeah. You know, I know what you've gone, obviously what you've gone through, and it's not easy to talk about loss when we've lost a loved one. But one of the things that I noticed, especially, and you and I have talked about this many times, and for you ladies and gentlemen that are listening to this out there, COVID was very different, right? COVID, you know, as we've talked about, Jill, when someone is dying with an illness, you know, cancer, or even if they've been, God forbid, even if someone's been murdered or something's happened, you can almost equate that to, you know, there's a reason behind this, you know, there's, you know, whereas, you know, as we've talked about many, many times, and especially within our group as well, that there just didn't seem to be a reason, was it? It was like a thief in the night.
It was.
Essentially.
Yeah. I mean, on the death certificate, they put natural causes, and I'm like, there was nothing natural about it. You know, it was actually man-made. You know, whatever your opinions are on that, I have my own opinions, but yeah. You know, it wasn't a natural cause. If it had been a motorcycle accident, I could have so understood it much more.
This is my point. Yeah, exactly. You would have understood it, and you would have known how to, you know, there's an element where you'd be able to cope with that better because someone contracts an illness, and so you can deal with that illness, even though, you know, we still go through the same kind of feelings and emotional roller coaster, but I mean,
there was no,
it's not natural, and it's not, it's 1 minute there, 1 minute gone. And even if someone drops with a heart attack, boom, you've got a reason behind it. There just was no rhyme or reason to this. And I'm sure people listening out there.
Yeah. And you feel like there's no closure because we were pretty much, everyone's been forgotten. They've moved on from COVID, you know, now we're not wearing masks. We're not talking about it as much. And that's hurtful. Because we just don't know. And a lot of the widows and I are in the same situation and we're like, wow, what, you know, what now? You know, if it, well, I lost both my parents from cancer and that was just, you know, it was tough, obviously, but it's closure.
Yeah. Because you could equate it to the fact that, well, they had cancer and they passed over and that's, you know, that was it. But this is, and, you know, for the many people that we've spoke to that we know who have lost their significant others, one of the things that I have noticed, and I'm sure you have as well, is that there is massive distance created by them. They feel so distant, not only from their own spiritual beliefs or their own practice, or but from people, from society, from everyone around them, because this is now a different level of grief that we are dealing with. And nobody really has done, you know, a great deal of research into this and how it affects us, because I believe it affects everybody very uniquely, as does grief anyway. But when you're talking about COVID grief, it's unique. It's completely there. You and I have had loads of conversations about this and about how people are dealing with it. And some people that we know have and are borderline, you know, in mental anguish and torture and even bordering on psychosis. So, you know, there is something here that's almost like a ghost in the night that kind of, almost like, I almost think of it with the days of Moses, you know, when we look back in the day when they send the mist and stuff, or the firstborn, and it's just a nothingness that takes the firstborn. It's almost like that. It's almost like a biblical thing. Now, I'm not wanting to jump into religion or anything else like that, obviously, but
that's a good comparison, definitely.
It is. I think it is. But I know that you're a lot better now, and we've worked through a lot of things, but let's talk a little bit about the distance, because you know a lot of other COVID widows and how they feel distant from anything. How do you think that manifests, as it did in your immediate life?
Yeah.
And even with your relationship with your son and everybody else, and then how these other, you know, women and men are coping with losing their loved ones and that distance between them.
I think the distance caused me to kind of pull back from a lot of people, and it was mostly because there's a huge stigma to, were you vaccinated? Were you not vaccinated?
Oh, and yes.
Chris was not. And, you know, he wasn't totally against it, but he just hadn't done it yet. And he wasn't sure yet. And like a lot of people, and surprisingly up at the hospital, you know, half of them that passed away were vaccinated. And now it's not such a stigma now that more information's out there. But at the time it was like, you know, why are you taking up bed space? Why, you know, it was almost like you were evil for not doing it. So then the widows and I, we kind of hunkered down and hid away and didn't talk to anybody. And that.
Do you think that compounded your grief worse because you couldn't essentially express your grief in the same way that anybody who had lost a mother, a father, a son, or a daughter through an accident or any other way, you weren't able to express that, were you? You couldn't express your grief.
No, it totally crippled any kind of expression. You know, you were looked at as, wow, you know, your husband wasn't vaccinated. And then you just shrunk down into this hole and stayed there.
Yeah.
And then things started getting, you know, a little bit more opened up. But some of the widows that I know are still in that hole. And it's sad.
And here's the thing, because we're not even speaking about it much and people are not necessarily even taking any precautions these days. I guess with the widows that are in that hole, they have a new level of grief almost every day.
Yeah. Yeah, they're still, they don't have that closure yet because now we're not even talking about it. And, you know, if hopefully in the future, you know, maybe they'll start talking about it again and delve into it. And then, because I know they talk to me a lot about, wow, will there ever be justice? Will there ever be anything said about definitive origins and
that? Mm. Do you think it hurts them more chasing elements of justice? Because we've talked about this before as well, and you know my thoughts on it, because it's like, you know, I tend to think when we're looking for justice, we're kind of, it doesn't help us. It's not a panacea for the pain. It's not going to actually help the situation.
No, it doesn't. I mean, I know a couple of the widows belong to a justice Facebook page, and I've looked at it, and it's really heartbreaking. You know, they have the photos, yeah. They have all the protocol and everything. And yes, I didn't agree with any of the protocol. You know, I was yelled at for wanting ivermectin and things like that. But I don't believe in going after the hospital because they're not really the origin.
No, they're not. And at the end of the day, it's you know, whether anybody out there believes it was man-made or whether it was natural, it was an unknown force. It was this almost biblical epidemic. I mean, you don't even know if it's that word. Plague, sorry, Blake, you know, a plague of locusts and stuff like that descended. And, I mean, even at the point where, you know, people were falling away from not only their immediate environment, the relations and people that were in, and people were losing relationships through this because they were falling out with their friends and they were falling out with their family. And I can't remember who it is. I know someone at the moment who's totally distant from their family, and it's all to do with COVID, and it's all to do with one of them went up there unmasked and they haven't spoken for like 8 months.
Geez. Yeah. There's
So I mean, it's created, you know, there's a good thing about the pandemic that many people talk about. I mean, it made us more aware of the preciousness of life, I think, and, you know, to live our lives to the full. But I think it created not only loss and grief, but there was a lot of grief with people losing their relationships and their friendships as people fell out with things. It's not necessarily a good thing, I think, to keep looking and searching for justice, because what happens when you get justice? It doesn't take away the pain.
It doesn't. I think it makes it worse. And
yeah, you've witnessed it.
I have, yeah. And it's not pretty. I mean, I think that down the road, things will naturally come out about it. And but it, like you said, it is something that was biblical. It was evil in its origin, and it took so many people, and that I totally agree with. But like I said, I don't want to ever feel like I'm going to go after the hospital or anything like that.
They did
their best. You know, Chris had, I believe, some underlying issues with his lungs. You know, he went out dirt biking and he had to get off his bike and sit down in the middle of the desert and have them go on, leave him, and he caught up. But, you know, being guys, they laughed about it. They're like, oh, you big sissy.
Yeah.
You
know, too many beers, Chris.
They don't care. But then we found out later, you know, that it could have been, he had some, you know, asbestos exposure when he was working with auto parts. And it literally shows up 40 years later. And he was about...
Do you think that could have compounded the matter with the COVID as well? Because obviously with the COVID that had been in the lungs... And
yeah, I do, because the doctor said in his x-ray that there was some broken glass opacity in the top of one of his lungs. And he said, some of that's COVID, but not all of it. And right then I had, you know, kind of a light bulb go off that. And then I started connecting him not being able to breathe on the bike, things like that. So,
I mean, I want to, you know, you know, you and I have had a lot of conversations, and you know, luckily we've heard from Chris many, many times on the other side. But I want to kind of, and I don't want to open up old wounds, but I think it's important for people who are listening who have lost a loved one, have been able to express their grief, in, you know, through COVID. I want to go back to how you immediately felt when you got the news that it happened, because, you know, we've talked about how much guilt that you held and how much shame that you held for a long time. And even some of that, you know, some now, but go back a little bit. When you first heard it, when you first heard the news, how did that impact you? Was it unbelief? Was it, how did you feel?
When I first heard, you know, the test came back that he was positive, and Chris literally said, "Jill, I'm not making it out of here. You know that, right?"
And so he already set the precedence.
He knew. It was literally 5 minutes after he got the test results back, and the nurse left the room, and wow, they were going to get him a room, and he looked at me and he said, "I have things I have to tell you. I'm not making it home." And I just kind of looked at him and said, "Stop it. You know, that's silly." And so they ended up getting him the room. And then, you know, it was a couple days, you know, he was still kind of hanging in there texting. And then by the third day, he said, "I'm getting afraid." And he said,
"Oh, God, love him.
I'm not going to make it out of here."
And, yeah.
And then it was a roller coaster. And they said, "Well, he's coming home this weekend." And I said, "Okay, great. You know, I'm going out, I'm buying soup." And
so you were brought up onto a high.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
And then,
that's worse.
Then that Friday, he got put on the vent at 2 a.m. and I just crashed, and I knew, but I still had hope. And he woke up 2 days after that on our anniversary, and I was able to say, "I love you." And he could shrug his shoulders like he was hugging me. And, and then he fell asleep and he never woke again. So it was,
That is a roller coaster, and if I remember right, it was 12 days, wasn't it? 12 or 14 days in total that you went through that?
12 days, And there was another...
Now, what about your son? How did he cope with that? Because he's quite young.
Yeah, he's 25. He actually works at the hospital, and he was in disbelief. You know, he didn't go up there as much as I did in the beginning, because again, he thought he was coming home, and he said, you know, he felt terrible. After everything, he said, "I would have been up there so much more if I'd known."
Mm.
But again, I'd come home and I'd be like, "Yeah, he's supposed to be home this weekend."
So there's an element of denial. You don't want to really accept.
Yeah, yeah.
The inevitable. You're holding on to that last glimmer of hope and everything else. And do you think as well after the... because you mentioned, obviously, people about the whole... whether you were, you know, had the COVID jab or anything else.
Mm-hmm.
Were you afraid to talk about his passing, his, and how it happened afterwards as well?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. To certain people, a lot of his biker buddies were not vaxxed. Some were. It actually, his death made a couple people go and get jabbed.
Right.
You know, so
now that's interesting, because they went to get jabbed, but yet the people that were passing mainly were the people that were vaccinated.
Yeah. Yeah. There were 15 of them that passed the same weekend that Chris did, on Labor Day weekend of 21. And it was the biggest toll, death toll in Utah. And he was part of it.
That's crazy.
Yeah. It was a huge spike. And I asked the doctor, I said, "How many are vaxxed?" You know, and he was pretty cool. And he said, "Yeah, about half." And
did it make you look at your own immortality?
Yeah. I would say, because literally a week before he got sick, he said, "You know," he said, "anything can happen to either one of us at any given time. We're not special." And I remembered that. And then literally a week later, he got sick. And so that's how I live my life right now.
It's almost like he prophesied it, Jill, isn't it?
He did. He did. Yeah.
And yet we know stories of other widows where they had absolutely no idea at all, and their husbands would leave. You know, and here's the thing. I think we've spoken about this as well, is that, you know, your husband leaves in the morning or your wife leaves in the morning to go to work and you never see them again. You can take on the fact, well, they were killed in an accident immediately, but when it's an unknown thing that is totally invisible and takes them away, I mean, that is absolutely devastating. It's probably the worst level, I don't want to take anybody's grief away and measure anybody's grief, whether they lost a sibling, a child or anything, but I think COVID grief is very, very, very unique.
It is.
And I think it really does destroy people from the inside out.
It does. In fact, it almost became a political thing with the vaccination or not vaccinating.
Oh, it still is.
Yeah. It still is, yeah. And, it's driven families apart. I've met a couple others here in town, and they blame, this person for killing grandma. It's just, and it was really nobody's fault. Nobody knew anything.
Are you struggling with grief? Hi, I'm Jock Brokas, a grief researcher, author, spiritual mentor, and renowned evidential medium. Join me on the Pillars of Grief podcast. Through personal teachings and interviews with experienced researchers and educators, I will provide valuable insights and support to help you navigate your journey through grief. I will answer the questions you yearn to be answered, and I'll help you understand your journey. Listen and subscribe to the Pillars of Grief podcast today on your favorite platform and start navigating your journey through grief.
The anger's got out of hand, I think. There's a lot of anger.
Yeah.
And rightfully so, people can be angry they've lost their loved ones. Anger is part of the emotional roller coaster that we're on, that we experience. But there comes a time, I think, when the anger really takes over everything and it begins to become more of a problem. And you can't see the wood for the trees and you can't actually, you create even more distance from your loved one on the other side because of the amount of anger that you have.
Yeah, I had terrible anger right afterwards, and I would say it lasted about 2 months, and I hated everything and everybody. And I shut my door, I put a gate up and a sign, don't bother me, and, it didn't help. And gradually, I got through that part. And
absolutely, yeah, you've done amazing.
The spiritual part took over, and then, of course, the signs from Chris have been all over the place because he was very talkative in this life.
yeah, and he's still quite talkative on the other side as well. as we know, because I've been very lucky, ladies and gentlemen, to have Chris kind of choose me as his medium. But that's another thing. We've had many good laughs and many good things. But I think what's important, you said that though, is you turn to spirituality, and I want to talk about that, Jill, because. We know people who are really religious, and what I see from them is sometimes they question their religion and they tend to search for another level of spirituality in the experience that they've had. Have you experienced that as well? I mean, I know you've experienced it personally yourself, but people that you know, do you think that's been that's something they've experienced as well, that they're searching elsewhere?
Yeah, I would say so, because I can identify with a couple of them that were raised Catholic. I am, and
I mean,
so that was there was a lot of the dogma involved.
Yeah,
and so and it's a beautiful faith, but there's a lot of things that make you sad when you think about like purgatory and things like that, and. So I started searching other places, and a couple of my friends are the same way. A couple of the widow.
Did you feel that the religion aspect made your grief worse?
Yes.
See, that's important. If you're listening, ladies, well, I know you're listening, ladies and gentlemen, because we're on podcast, but the reality is that this type of experience, maybe not so much, and it's unique, Jill, because maybe not so much with heart attacks, cancer, anything like that. When it's something like COVID, I've seen more religious transitioning or religious questioning than anything else. And I've witnessed more suffering due to dogma that's compounded their grief even more. And I love the fact that you admit that, because a lot of people wouldn't. I mean, you and I have had conversations about the Catholic Church and, you know, people that you know that haven't accepted.
Yes.
Many of these conversations. So if you're listening to this episode, then I'm sorry, but yes, we have spoke about you. even from your upbringing and stuff like that, you found it very difficult to accept anything from a religious point of view.
Yeah, because I was raised Roman Catholic, so I went to the masses that were in Latin.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was hardcore. And like I said, beautiful faith, and it's still a lot of things I agree with, but...
Yeah, me too.
You know, I had my friend that committed suicide. The first thing that went through my mind is, well, he's going to hell. And, you know...
Yeah, we talked about that.
Yeah, and he was a good friend of Chris's, and that compounded my grief that moment, because it was, you know, a year later, and it was like living through some of it again. And finally I got to a point where I'm just going by the Bible, what's written in the Word, what's, you know, forget about purgatory and hell for a moment, you know, and just concentrate on they're taken care of and they're happy.
And you've been lucky to have, you know, lots of evidence of that, and that's helped you tremendously to get through things. And for those of you out there that haven't had that, part of the reason that you don't experience these connections is it's nothing to do with going to a medium or anything like that. It's because of either your belief system in a dogmatic faith that keeps you distanced. That's that big word that we talk about again, keeps you distanced from the reality of who you really are. And also the level of grief that you're experiencing, you create fogs around you. And it's not, you never heal from grief. I've always espoused that and taught that. You're never going to heal from it, but it's a place that you have to come to accept it. But I would say, you know, how do you feel about your journey, now? Since you've gone, it's not years gone. I mean, it's still relatively new. It's only been a couple of years since COVID now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm about.
You think you're still on that roller coaster?
I would say it's not so much a roller coaster anymore. I mean, pretty soon I'm going to be at 22 months since he passed. And the last 6 months have been really healing. And a lot of it has been since I've kind of put aside some of the dogma that I was raised with, mm-hmm. because I created my own purgatory, you know, right after
Christmas. Yeah, you did. Yes. Yeah.
I'm like stuck in this box. I can't go anywhere. You know, I'm in limbo, which is basically what, you know, purgatory is plus.
Healing. Yeah. For all you Catholics out there listening. Yeah. You get this, but for all the other ones, you don't get this. You need to go and Google it.
Yeah. Yeah. Google. Purgatory is not fun, and nothing against my Catholic faith, but it's just not fitting in certain things with me anymore. And so just reading the Bible and knowing that he's on the other side, and the journey is, it's going along really good. I'm really finding peace.
Well, that brings us to, because you, through obviously your experience and your experience, obviously having connections as well, that you wanted to help other COVID widows, and, you know, you started this group, and then you kind of invited myself in, and it's kind of grown in its own way. But you're a big proponent of helping others, helping other COVID widows who are going through the situation that you have. Why did you want to do that?
Mostly because right after it happened, I met other women like me, and there was nowhere for us to go. You know, if you go to a grief counselor, it was not the same thing. And so you're kind of in a group setting, and we're like, oh yeah, we're going to talk about our husbands being unvaxxed, and we're going to get judged, and, you know, we're going to feel worse than we did when we first got there. There was nowhere to go. So that's why.
Do you think the grief counseling was more of a negative thing? And would that be maybe down to the point of, grief counseling is, you know, a lot of it is based on theory and not experience?
Yes. Yeah. That was my I didn't actually go, but I had talked to a couple of them just briefly, and immediately I was turned kind of off. And then some of the widow friends.
What did they say to you when you first went to a counselor? You didn't go to the group therapy, but you went to speak to a counselor. How was it opened up to you?
There were a couple, and it was online, and right away it was like, well, I'm so sorry, you know, and
worst thing to say, I'm sorry for your loss. It's the same thing as the worst thing to say to a veteran, thank you for your service.
It was just kind of really generic, like, you know, canned corn, you know, just okay.
Yeah.
You open it up and you know, that was it. It was just kind of like they were almost reading a script. So
that's interesting. I've never heard somebody say to me that they felt as if they were being read a script. That's interesting to me.
Yeah, that's how I gathered the information, was just, okay, I need to ask her this, this, and this, and then we'll go from there. But I didn't even get that far. It was just,
wow.
The minute you said COVID, then they started asking all these weird questions like, oh, you know, was he sick before? You know, did he have any underlying conditions?
Almost like a medical search.
Yeah. Yeah, I felt grilled.
See, that's not counseling.
No, I felt grilled with 20 questions rather than...
Wow.
Yeah.
What would you have wanted? Okay, so let's go back to that situation. What would you have wanted in a counselor, or what you were going through at the time? What did you really want?
If I had gone through with it, I would have liked someone to just listen to me.
That's what I wanted you to say. Professional woman, ladies and gentlemen. We never talked about this beforehand, so
I know, it's just
that's
simple.
Exactly what I wanted you to say. The power of listening.
Yeah, it was huge.
Active or passive listening.
Yeah, and the other women, the other widows, same thing. Nobody listened to them, not even family members. They had their own opinions. It became political. And then they felt really alone.
Now, let's touch on that, because even though you have your son, who's an awesome, awesome guy, big shout out to the boy there, he is, who's also a good-looking guy, by the way, and is starring in, well, he's not starring in movies, but he's getting into that side of things,
isn't he? He's getting into it, yeah.
Yeah, he's getting it. You never know, maybe one day he'll be big. But you know, the communication that you have, or in families as well, that kind of was reduced, I suppose.
Yeah.
For you. I mean, you felt lonely is what I'm saying.
I did. Yeah. I didn't want to burden Cole, my son, with a lot of how I felt, because it was, he's not going to understand the intimacy.
But did he feel lonely?
He felt lonely. Yeah.
See, that's the thing, because both of you are together, but both of you are feeling loneliness at different ways.
Yeah, it was different kind of loneliness, for sure.
Mm.
You know, Cole didn't have a good relationship with his real dad, so Chris was more his dad than...
Yeah.
And so now he lost him, so it was tough.
Which, if you're listening, Cole, your dad did, you know, your dad, Chris, did come through and say you were going to get a new job. So there we go.
Yeah, I told him. He's like,
I told you, and you didn't believe it.
Yeah, so kind of like poo-pooing it. And then he got, and I said, Cole, do you remember what Jock said, what Chris said?
Oh, my God.
He's like, oh, my gosh.
So, but, you know, so here's the thing. Loneliness is a big aspect to this. And there's a level of loneliness and grief that is very unique to each way that someone passes. But I think, again, like we said, that creates distance. We question religion. We question our connection. But loneliness is a big thing, because it keeps you distance in your family. And you and I, we know widows that are in our group, because, you know, we run this group together, ladies and gentlemen. It's in the Pillars of Grief. We have COVID widows. And you're more than welcome, if you are a COVID widow, to come and join us. There'll be a link in the description. But we've noticed that they're so lonely. It doesn't matter how many people or how much family is around them. The loneliness is tremendous.
Yes, yes. One of them just told me that she went on a family vacation, had a great time while she was there and busy. But then when she got back home, it was the letdown.
Yeah, see?
And that's kind of kept me from going on trips, truthfully, right now. You know, it's not out of the question later.
Yeah, and as you get better with it, then obviously you can look at. But I think that's the thing, is because if you go online and you search how to deal with loneliness, it gives you all of these tips and tricks. Okay, go to a group, do this, you know, get in touch with someone, find a new friend. But it's different when you're experiencing COVID grief, right? Because the danger is, and I've done a lot of research with this, the danger is that when you do something that excites you and gets you connected, is it finishes, then you have to go back and live that loneliness again and you feel even more disconnected. So we have to try and find a way of keeping that alive, that experience and that thought and that alive. And that's something that we work on all the time.
Yeah, you're still coming back to an empty house. So you have to heal yourself. You have to be able to be alone with yourself. And I was kind of forced to be alone with myself.
Yeah.
Because I had all these biker guy friends. They, you know, I love them, but they're not, you know, they're like brothers and they're not very helpful in that department.
And they just want to look after you as a wee sister.
Yeah. They're protective. But I had to be alone with myself, and I had to walk around this house and be okay with it. And you know, so
that's still a battle for you though, isn't it? I mean, you're getting better and better, but it's something that you have to work at all the time.
Every day.
And that's what I've said, you know, ladies and gentlemen, you have to do the work. Grief is not easy, but you do work in grief as well. You have to do the grief work to be able to deal with this and come to a point. But here's a little tip that I'll give everybody who's listening out there. And it's something that I've said, I believe I've said it in one of our classes, is that when you go out and you do these things, you go to family gatherings or you go to a class in a library or somewhere else and you take part in it, one of the things I'd say to you is, as you come back, and the minute you start to feel a bit lonely, is to go back into the visualization and the memory of what you've just experienced and try and relive it and try and make the connection to, I can't wait until I can do it again, and start to plan the next time you do it again, because you're starting to psychologically look toward going to do something. You're looking toward the next time I go to that class, the next time I meet that person. Plan it in your mind. It's not always going to take all your pain or your suffering away, because it's something that we all have to, even I've lost so many people. It's something we all have to work with. But just go into that kind of meditative state. You know, you've had a great time. You went to a class or you went to see a show or whatever it is, relive it in your mind. Relive it and then plan the next one in your mind. Plan it. Start to put it together. That's just a little tip that will help you move forward.
Yeah.
Help you with it.
Very helpful. And I think that having something to look forward to, even little things, I would write little things down on my notebook for the next day. Like, oh, I'm going to go buy a plant, or I'm going to go trim a bush outside, you know.
Yeah.
And then you check it off, and then you feel like, hey, you know, I did something today, and then you do it for the next day.
Yeah. What other strategies have you had then that you have found have helped you, that you developed yourself? You never learned that you know, from a book or anything else. You just naturally, what kind of strategies can you share with others?
I'm kind of a weirdo. I hit things I hit things head on. I figured, what bothers me? What's making me cry? Well, it was going out in the garage. And so now I go out in the garage all the time. I don't cry. But I went out there and I was moving his tools, you know, and things like that. And I started crying. And so I gradually started, you know, being out there more. I would think about him in the hospital and I would just think about those thoughts, but then realize he's on the other side and he's very happy. And now, for the most part, I can think about that and not get upset. But there's
some moments.
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, I love moments. That when he pops in as well and sends you a little message from the other side as well, which normally pops in at the most. That's true. Yeah, we're shouting at him and stuff like that. Yeah, but so you can. But it's important for people to know, I think, Jill, is that they can keep that relationship alive. Because here's the thing, ladies and gentlemen, you've kept that relationship alive, right? It's not gone. We've learned that, right, through your experiences. So what would you tell people who have lost their loved ones through COVID, whether they're indoctrinated with religion or not? What would you tell them about, your relationship now with, I know you've lost, you know, obviously you haven't lost Chris because we've worked that out, but you, you know, he's transitioned, right? So tell them what, how do you feel about your relationship now?
Well, one of my favorite things is actually what you told me, that he's in another room.
So I look
at him as being in the next room. He used to go on to conventions and things like that, and I couldn't go. So I kind of feel like he's on a convention and I can't get to where he is right now, but he's okay.
Yeah.
And I've had so many signs that were
such
evidence that, you know, it's unbelievable. So, you know, you can definitely have a relationship, and I talk to him still.
Yeah, you do. Yeah. And he hears you because we've had that a few times. Absolutely. So it's, and that's proof. So ladies and gentlemen, you can keep a relationship with your loved one, even when they've moved on. It doesn't matter what your religion is, what your belief system is there is no such thing as death. We just move to the next room. Now, you guys that are listening out there, we're going to be finishing off just in a moment or two. But, you know, we have a group, you know, it's Pillars of Grief. And what do you think about the group, Jill?
I love it. I find that it's really comforting, and it is a little bit, you know, like counseling without all the other stuff.
Without the counselors. And we have classes, ladies and gentlemen. We have classes and get-togethers, and there's no relaxed. Cost to it. It's free. It's relaxed.
Yeah.
And we have fun. So if you're out there and you are a COVID widow, then you get in touch with Jill. Links will be below here. And this is not the first time that you're going to hear, and the last time you're going to hear from Jill. As I said, she's going to be my co-host as we interview some other people, and probably some of the people in our group that maybe want to come and tell their stories, because it's telling stories that help us to accept and move forward in a progressive way. So come and join our group. It's Pillars of Grief. And from my website, jockbrokers.com, you go on a grief group and you'll get a link to the application form, and you can come and join us. It's free, and Jill and I would love to welcome you and to help you through your journey. And Jill's going to be working on her own book in the future, which I'm helping her with, and she's going to be telling her story. So I'm really excited about her journey there as well. And also, if you are in Utah and you are suffering through grief, there'll be a connection in the show notes, because myself and Jill will be running your COVID Widows Grief Retreat in Utah, and all the details will be below. You can contact her. We're just going to get the venue and things sorted now, and so you'll be able to meet us in person. You'll be able to learn about Jill's story as well, and you'll be able to learn a little bit from me as we are there. So Jill, what's the last things that you want to say to all the COVID widows out there from you?
I just want to say, please know that they're okay, that they're with you, that this isn't the end. It's just the beginning.
Love it. Love it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening. This is the Pillars of Grief. I'm Jock Brokers. This is Jill. You say it.
Deitch.
I've been calling it for
Rhymes
Deutsch
with
for
Ocean
years.
Beach.
Deitch, this is Jill Deitch. I am delighted that she has come on to Pillars of Grief, and you'll see her again. Please connect with us. Please come and get the support that you need. And that's what we're here for. So, till the next time, we will see you in the next episode. There's many, many more coming up. There's many more guests coming up as well. But if you haven't listened to the other episodes, go and listen to that. In fact, go and listen to the one about, I think it's Men in Grief that we did. I think it was episode 2, where I actually talk about the experience of Jill's friend who took his own life because he'd lost his wife. So we talk about men's grief and everything else. So you're not alone. Thank you for listening. This is the Pillars of Grief. God bless. Thank you for tuning in to the Pillars of Grief with me. If you've found this podcast helpful, please consider subscribing so that you never miss an episode. Also, leaving a review can help others find the show and receive the guidance they need on their journey through grief. I appreciate your feedback and look forward to hearing from you all. Join my free online support community for those grieving and connect with others who understand what you're going through. I offer you a spiritual blessing and hope you will join me on the next episode. Till then,
open your mind and allow the power of the divine to transform your grief to spiritual realization. God bless.